and walked up to the courthouse steps, and we're confronted by the most unsightly group of people that you ever see outside a courtroom.
They were terrorists, and it was outrageous that the government of Canada allowed them to congregate there for the express purpose of trying to assassinate you.
Holocaust revisionist Ernst Zundel was assaulted by the JDL outside a Canadian court. His house was firebombed by the JDL, totaling over $400,000 in damages, but the JDL was never charged. He was later labeled a white supremacist and a threat to national security by the ADL and detained without trial, despite having no criminal record. He was eventually deported to Germany, and at the age of 66, he was sentenced to 5 years of prison for Holocaust denial. 73-year-old German lawyer and free speech activist Horst Mahler was sentenced to 11 years in prison for Holocaust denial. Ernst Zundel and Horst Mahler's lawyer, Sylvia Stolz, was sentenced to 3.5 years in prison for representing them. She got out and enjoyed freedom for a few years. Then at the age of 52, she was sent back to prison for 20 months for Holocaust denial. British historian David Irving was sentenced to 3 years in prison for Holocaust denial.
For me to be standing here on trial for an opinion I expressed 16 years ago as a historian is ridiculous.
Ursula Haverbeck, an 87-year-old German grandmother, was sentenced to 10 months in prison for Holocaust denial. 87 years old.
You're Nazi apologists. Rewriting history. Go back and check what Hitler did.
And by needlessly and repeatedly offending Jewish people in this way, you not only betray our Labour values, but you betray your legacy as Labour.
English politician Ken Livingstone was harassed, attacked in the media, and suspended from the Labour Party for speaking about the 1933 Havre Transfer Agreement, where the Zionist Federation and the Jewish Agency paid Hitler to bring the German Jews to Palestine. This is simply historical fact which refutes what we were taught in school growing up.
Mr. Weinstein, you don't really think this man's a threat to national security, do you?
Excuse me?
Do you really think he's a threat to national security?
Absolutely.
Why?
He is a threat to national security of Canada. The reason why is because a couple of reasons. His unyielding support for the Hamas and the Hezbollah.
British Member of Parliament and anti-war activist George Galloway was banned from entering Canada by the JDL for speaking the truth about Israel.
I sit in the British Parliament. I've been elected 5 times, 23 years. If I was a terrorist or a security risk, you'd think either the Speaker of the House of Commons or the Homeland Security Division of the United States would have noticed.
So I'm sick and tired of our money being used to advance the interests of the United States and Israel. I stand here as the only person who has the courage to speak out for our people, and I'm going to do it loudly and clearly tonight. The war in Syria is a war to expand Israel. ISIS stands for Israeli Secret Intelligence Service.
New Constitution Party of Canada leader Dr. James Sears was declared a terrorist by Federal Minister of Canada Post, Liberal Party's Judy Foote, for speaking the truth about Israel and the Holocaust. He is no longer allowed to use the Postal Service and distribute his newspapers.
2003, Israel was the cheerleaders for the war in Iraq. 2006, it went into war in Lebanon. 2008, 2009, it attacked Gaza. Now it talks about attacking Iran. If you read the Israeli papers every day, they talk about, should we attack Gaza? Should we attack Lebanon? Should we attack Syria? Name me another country in the world that falls into that category.
Well,
that's a lunatic state.
After teaching at DePaul University for 6 years, Jewish professor Norman Finkelstein was denied tenure for speaking the truth about Israel, Holocaust reparations, and exposing Harvard professor Alan Dershowitz for plagiarizing to create novels in defense of Israel. Professor Stephen Salida was fired for tweeting about Israel during their bombing campaign in Gaza. Jeremy Bowen was removed from his reporting position in Gaza for saying he found no evidence of human shields and that Hamas was actually helping the children. Whereas so many people in the media are paid to say Hamas uses human shields without showing any evidence.
People are looking in the wrong direction instead of the real culprits. This party, we were approached. I was approached. We were offered money from the United States. And all they wanted was two things. They only wanted us to concentrate on Islam, and I yield to no one in my criticism of Islam and grooming. I put my neck on the line. Many of you have put your neck on the line as well. But it's not the only problem. And they wanted us only to focus on that, and it only came with one other thing. They wanted us to drop our criticism of the banking system. Those were the only two things. We had to concentrate on talking about Muslims, and we had to drop our criticism of the international banking system. And I refused, and we refused. That was in about 2007. And all hell broke loose, really, from that time, when systematically they tried to take this party apart.
Former president of the British National Party, Nick Griffin, also spoke about the Jewish Zionist plan to ethnicize white Europeans. In fact, this is something that many Jews are publicly campaigning for, yet he was labeled an anti-Semite and expelled.
An unholy alliance of leftists, capitalists, and Zionist supremacists has schemed to promote immigration and miscegenation with the deliberate aim of breeding us out of existence in our own homelands.
Hi Nick, isn't it about time you apologize to the British people for your party's long history of anti-Semitism? Why don't you apologize, you gutless coward?
People to get the picture.
Yeah.
So they shut up talking about don't Jew me. You understand?
Yep.
In other words, they don't say Michael Jackson is a very bad person and he should be convicted of this child molestation because he said don't Jew me in a song. They're too smart now. Yeah. Not before they made a big story out of it, but now they're at a different stage. Now they're really going after him.
Yeah.
And they don't want people to get the picture.
Yeah.
To see the real motivation.
Right.
C'est pour ça que c'est l'autocensure, ça, Jamel. Si on, tu comprends ce que je veux dire? Si on commence à pas faire de dessin pour pas choquer les musulmans,
non,
si on fait,
pour
c'est,
moi,
c'est de l'autocensure.
Moi,
c'est la liberté, fin de la liberté d'expression.
Pour moi, la liberté d'expression. Pour moi, hein, la liberté d'expression et le respect font partie, sont mariés ensemble. Tu peux, moi, je suis pour la liberté d'expression. Mais si je vais blesser une personne, pourquoi blesser la personne ?
Mais si moi, j'ai envie de faire une caricature sur Mahomet ou sur un rabbin ou sur Jésus-Christ, il faut que j'ai le droit de le faire. Tu comprends ? C'est
non,
ça, la France.
Quand tu sais que tu vas blesser 10 millions de personnes, pourquoi tu vas les blesser ? Pourquoi ?
C'est la liberté, c'est ça.
Quand... C'est la liberté de... Alors...
C'est tellement surprenant, c'est tellement inadmissible que j'en suis choqué. Voilà.
Dans un pays où on peut parler, on peut s'exprimer. Et là, pourquoi tout d'un coup, sur un sujet, on ne pourrait pas s'exprimer
Vous savez bien pourquoi on ne peut pas s'exprimer.
Pourquoi
ben parce que dans ce pays, on a envoyé pendant la guerre des juifs dans des chambres à gaz. Et que ça crée un petit problème quand même. Vous voyez
mais
ce que
dans
je veux dire.
Ce pays, on a envoyé pendant 400 ans des centaines de millions de Noirs et 400 ans d'esclavage. Et pourtant, ça n'a pas empêché Michel Led de faire un sketch qui m'a fait marrer.
Ouais.
Où il faisait un Noir, puis à la fin, il faisait un singe. Et
ouais.
En parlant des narines, en parlant des lunettes. En tout cas, lui, il n'a pas été interdit d'exercer son travail. Il a même eu la Légion d'honneur.
Quelqu'un qui a toute sa famille qui a été exterminée dans un camp de concentration et qui voit quelqu'un à la télé qui dit Israël. Vous vous rendez compte, enfin, je sais pas. Mais non, on peut pas. Il y a des moments où même si on connaît les gens, même si on les a invités, on leur dit non, c'est plus possible. Comme Alain Soral, qu'on a reçu ici d'ailleurs.
On avait reçu Alain Soral.
Mais qu'on recevra plus, parce que compte tenu de ce qu'il a dit, on peut pas le recevoir. Et vous vous rendez compte de ce que vous arrivez à dire.
Je trouve incroyable que j'ai pu faire un sketch sur le mollah Jean-Christophe, j'ai pu faire un sketch sur le curé.
Ouais.
Là, je fais un sketch sur un colon israélien,
ouais.
Et tout d'un coup, c'est l'hystérie.
Non, non. Moi, je vous trouve, vous savez bien, je vous ai toujours trouvé très drôle et en plus très bon comédien. Et je suis un peu désolé, pour vous dire la vérité, je vous parle amicalement, je suis un peu désolé de vous voir vous enfoncer là-dedans, parce que c'est peut-être la dernière fois que je vous invite, Dieudo.
It looks like Michael Jackson was right. The Jews do it on purpose. Jewish organizations are publicly pushing for gun control in America. Ted Nugent spoke out on this, and the ADL labeled him an anti-Semite for simply speaking the truth. 89-year-old White House correspondent Helen Thomas spoke the truth about Israel and lost her job. Meanwhile, Israeli lawmaker Ayelet Shaked publicly called for genocide, but instead of losing her job, Netanyahu promoted her to justice minister.
IPAC and other influential American Jewish groups are extraordinarily involved in the funding of American political campaigns and have the ability to reach out and make sure that people lose their jobs or are otherwise hurt if they dare to criticize Israel. I lost a job last year simply because I said that I suspected Mr. Obama would maintain traditional U.S. policy toward Israel, and that cost me a job that was both a position and a salary.
To be honest, I didn't even know what a Zionist was. All I knew was that I had been asked to sign a pledge for Israel when I first became a candidate for Congress. And after refusing to do so, my congressional career became trench warfare, hand-to-hand combat, just to remain in the Congress. Ever since my refusal to sign that pledge for Israel, the pro-Israel lobby let me know that my political neck was in the hangman's noose. I'm saddened when I hear people say they are afraid. Afraid of what? Knowing that your government has been hijacked and that those in charge will lie to you? Such knowledge should actually set us free to do what we must to maintain our own dignity. The mean of division is developed by those who write the scripts in order to pit us against each other. That way, we forget to focus on those who planned September 11th, those who profiteer from war and killing, and those who, like cowards, vote to send our young men and women off to fight someone else's wars or worse, remain silent even while whole countries are being destroyed.
First off, how is it possible that anybody with any kind of sanity would consider the United States or Britain or the West in general to be in any kind of position to be punishing anyone for any illegalities? If we want to take a look at Iraq, there is at least 1 million, probably even close to 2 million dead. We invaded that country, destroyed it, created millions of orphans, millions of refugees, and never even so much as apologized for that. Let's go back to Vietnam, where we dropped 20 million bombs, more than all of World War II combined. We have destroyed so many countries. We have tortured and killed and maimed and raped around this planet. Who in the hell in their right mind would consider the United States or the West in general to be in any position to punish anybody? And these mouthpieces, such as this gentleman in Washington, is only doing a disservice to himself and his country. And the fact is that American sons and daughters will get involved in this yet again, and these chicken hawks who are pretending to care about the Syrian people are going to be sacrificing not their own sons and daughters. I would like this man to send his sons and daughters and his grandchildren off to Syria when this turns into a greater conflict, because this is what we're flirting with, is a world war, a third world war. This is not a joke.
We are flirting with a third world war on the basis that apparently we care so much about the Syrian people, just like we care so much about the Iraqi people and the Afghani people. The only people that buy this sort of stuff are either bought off prostitutes or the dumbest of the dumb. And we're also led to believe that Assad is the dumbest idiot dictator on the planet now, isn't he? Because he invited UN inspectors to come in, and he brought them in on the very day that they come in. He decides to attack his own people 10 miles away from where the inspectors arrive. This is beyond ridiculous. And the only people that buy this, again, are bought off prostitutes or the dumbest of the dumb.
One of the greatest peace activists of our generation, former Marine Ken O'Keefe, who was also on board the Mavi Marmara aid ship, where Israeli Defense Forces murdered 10 civilians, was labeled an anti-Semite and attacked by the JDL.
There he is.
If you boycott against Israel, New York will boycott you. If you divert revenues from Israel, New York will divert revenues from you. If you sanction Israel, New York will sanction you. Period.
Henry Ford, founder of the Ford Motor Company, assembled a staff of experts to research the origin of European Jews who had been entering America in large numbers since the 1880s. Ford's research cost him several millions of dollars, and in 1923, he published the results in a four-volume work titled The International Jew. It was Henry Ford's conclusion that the Jews were not descendants of the biblical Israelites. Ford further proved that these Jews committing all sorts of crimes while under the cover of being called chosen people of the Bible were rapidly taking economic and political control of America. Henry Ford also claimed that the Jews had secretly gained control of most Protestant seminaries and Christian book publishing houses and had been able to remove almost all criticism of Jews from Christian literature. In summing up his findings, Henry Ford stated, "The Jews are not the chosen people, though practically the entire church has succumbed to the propaganda which declares them to be so." Ford's book caused a major uproar for a few years, but soon disappeared from colleges, universities, and public libraries, and became unobtainable at any price.
Lobbying is legal bribing. AIPAC lobbies American politicians and Congress with a foreign government's backing. AIPAC was formerly the American Zionist Council. Grant F. Smith, director of the Institute for Research, Middle Eastern Policy, detailed documents about the American Zionist Council delaying the Foreign Agents Registration Act 7 times until Robert Kennedy was murdered. Afterwards, they were never required to register. Strangely, Robert Kennedy's death was blamed on a Palestinian who couldn't remember his name at the time. His revolver could only hold 8 bullets. 13 gunshots were reported that day. Who got arrested on 9/11 and used the same Palestinian excuse before?
Brian Gumbel says, "What are you talking about? You only get $3 billion. And I said, "Brian, that's only the foreign aid bill. Look at all the other trade compacts, economic assistance, military assistance. I'm saying this to you right now. Israel gets approximately $15 billion a year from the American taxpayers. That $15 billion is $30,000 for every man, woman, and child. People in my district are losing their pension benefits. So I was targeted big time. And if someone doesn't look into this, the American people should be ashamed of themselves. When you allow one American to be violated, you threaten the freedoms of every American. And I can't understand this, why no one in Congress is raising their voice. And the reason is very simple. This may be you don't want to hear. I don't know. And I certainly don't want to hurt you on your show. You have one of the best. You're fair. But I believe that Israel has a powerful stranglehold on the American government. They control both members of the House and the Senate. They have us involved in wars of which we have little or no interest. Our children are coming back in body bags. Our nation is bankrupt over these wars. And if you open your mouth, you get targeted.
Are you an anti-Semite?
No, I'm not. That's exactly what they're going to say. And I expect that. What I am is an American. You see, I think America comes first. America is in danger if America doesn't take back the government.
Director General of Israel's Ministry of Strategic Affairs, Sima Vaknin-Gil, told a forum of Israeli tech developers to flood the internet with pro-Israel propaganda. When she was Israel's chief censor, she said, "We censor information that is critical to our enemies, who have no capabilities like us, do not have a Jewish brain, and therefore our enemy relies to a large extent on open information." Her ministry has a budget of roughly $70 million to fight what it calls a war on consciousness terrorism. To win it, she said, Israel must use tricks and craftiness.
To give you the scope of the system covers the entire internet right now, two social networks, Facebook and Twitter, and it covers all the posts, all the tweets. Of them, it identifies every day 200,000 suspect posts and tweets that are suspected for anti-Semitism. Then it analyzes them using artificial intelligence and machine learning, and ultimately identifies roughly 10,000 anti-Semitic posts a day. As of now and forward, this information is going to be made public. It in itself will be a great deterrent to anti-Semitism. Suddenly, we'll know which city is the most anti-Semite city in terms of internet activity. We'll know who are the 10 top anti-Semitic tweets and Twitters. We'll know on a certain day we see a spike in anti-Semitism, we'll be able to drill down and understand what caused it. Just by the fact of knowing all of this, it in itself, hopefully, will shame people into acting better. Here in Tel Aviv, at a specific location, it's up and running. This command center takes the information that is analyzed and created here and then acts. It could be, for example, identifying a specific post that is calling for anti-Semitic action and then notifying the local intelligence and law enforcement forces in a certain European country. It could be to tell the municipality of a certain city, and this week I might say that Manchester is one of the highest anti-Semite activities, so call up the mayor and tell him, do something about this. So by knowing this information, we can act, and this group of analysts within the command center, it's up and running as
a radical plan to crack down on social media abuse is being considered by the federal government. For more, Nine's Oliver Haig joins us live in Adelaide. Ollie, how will it work?
Layla, good morning. Essentially, it will work the same as a passport. Australians forced to submit 100 points of identification, like their driver's licence or passport, when using social media accounts like Facebook and Twitter. Now, police would have access to those social media accounts, and it's all part of a crackdown on online abuse. Now, users could be liable for defamation suits or even criminal prosecution, and it's all part of a plan hoping to deter people from engaging in bad behaviour. Now, the recommendations were handed down by a federal parliamentary inquiry. They're reforms that are being considered by the Morrison government, with the chairman saying there is merit to remove the veil of being anonymous. Layla?
The timely action becomes the first Israeli-sponsored resolution passed by the UN General Assembly in 17 years, and only the second in Israel's history. The resolution, backed by dozens of countries, calls for action to combat Holocaust denial and distortion as anti-Semitism continues to surge globally. A key element calls on social media giants such as Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter to remove any offensive content of this nature from their platforms. Israel's UN ambassador cited a report showing the failure of social media companies in dealing with complaints over anti-Semitic content, including Facebook, which dealt with only 11% of the posts. Former Israeli ambassador to the UN, Danny Danone, tells CBN News why this resolution is so significant.
Unfortunately, today with social media, we are seeing a wave of anti-Semitism, a wave of Holocaust denial, and I think the fact that the UN General Assembly will adopt a majority resolution saying that all countries should fight Holocaust denial, should educate about the Holocaust, it's very important.
Thursday's vote also came on the 80th anniversary of the Wannsee Conference. That's when the leadership of Nazi Germany decided to implement the final solution, the systematic murder of 6 million Jews.
It's very important, very symbolic that we're passing the resolution actually today. But we have to learn the lesson about the future. When you have radical leaders actually speaking about how they can terminate the Jewish people, we have to take it seriously. So back then it was Nazi Germany. Today, the Iranian regime. When you hear to the rhetoric, to the threats coming from Tehran, we should not ignore them. We should face them. We should take all the necessary measures to protect ourselves.
The first Israeli resolution supported by UN members came in 2005, designated January 27th as Holocaust Remembrance Day. Danone emphasized today's generation needs to learn about the Holocaust, especially from those who endured it. This week, CBN News sat down with 98-year-old Holocaust survivor Walter Bingham.
Later this month is going to be International Holocaust Remembrance Day. What's the lesson that people need to take away?
Never again. Just two words. Never again. The lesson is never again. Unfortunately, people don't learn.
Chris Mitchell, CBN News, Jerusalem.
This is a complicated process, right, John?
No, my pasta maker is easy to operate because the directions are easy to follow.
Well, we've heard that before. You buy an appliance with easy to follow directions, you get it home, and you need a PhD to figure it out. Usually this easy direction stuff is a big lie, like the Holocaust. Now, are your directions really easy to follow? Or is it just another Holocaust-type scam?
They're easy to follow. They involve three easy steps.
My father's a dramatic Holocaust survivor. His heart had flames coming out of it from the Holocaust in the Warsaw Ghetto.
24th of January is Holocaust Memorial Day. Neither my generation nor the younger generations after mine have first-hand experience of that horror.
Because my ancestry is Jewish. And anyone who didn't escape from Eastern Europe was massacred by the Nazis.
And we know today from the evidence that if Hitler had won the war, he would not have stopped with European Jewry. His plans were to eliminate every Jew on the face of the planet. So, well, many groups were targeted for persecution. Only the Jews were targeted for total annihilation.
Okay. Yeah.
Only the Jews were targeted for total annihilation.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So why should I, as a German, accept the American Psychological Warfare Division idea that my people committed crimes which they demonstrably did not? I mean, did I not go and spend $34,000 for an American to go to Auschwitz, which he recorded, to take samples, take them back to American labs for traces of the Cyclone B gas, and didn't find any?
I thought we weren't going to discuss
No, but I'm saying to you, if you raise the point, Germany can only free itself by coming to grips with its own history, truthfully. Not in the way the Jews would like it, not in the way Anglo-liberal Freemasonic society would like it, but in the way it was. There was enough suffering in the Second World War to go all around. 10 million German people died as a result of that war. Germany got stripped of territories which the Germans wrested from the swamps of Europe 800 years ago, before Canada was ever thought of. Germans have as much need to breathe freely and to be free of guilt complexes, especially since we don't deserve it. In order to be accepted as full-fledged members of the human family, the Germans have to be allowed to come to grips with their history honestly. Not to have to accept what Canadians or Americans say, or especially Jews say. You see, I come back to that. You keep saying to me, you're picking on the Jews by the very way that you speak. The fact is that they are our tormentors. They are our tormentors. They will not leave us alone as a people. The German people collectively, even my son's generation, if they were living in Germany, are paying reparations to a gangster state in the Middle East that then uses that money to subjugate people called Palestinians. And they always use the Holocaust as a shield. Every time they beat and break the bones of a Palestinian, the first criticism that comes, we were Holocausted. The people who break the bones of these young Palestinians during the Intifada were not Holocausted. They are living proof that there was no Holocaust. Because if there had been a Holocaust, not a Jew would have made it out of Adolf Hitler's Germany. Every Jew who flashes his concentration camp number disproves that there was genocide. Because let me tell you, very few Polish officers who got into the clutches of Stalin's NKVD are around to flash their numbers. They're in mass graves somewhere in the forests of Russia.
But one of the things I was discussing before you came here is genocide doesn't necessarily mean the extinction of a race. It's more the intent. It's not necessarily what did happen, but it was the intent to wipe out the Jewish race.
Hitler dominated the continent of Europe for at least 5 years militarily. If those efficient Germans had a plan to exterminate the Jews, not a Jew would have gotten away. Believe me. Believe me.
Thank you. мир ее тем, Маганат!
Ever found, and the most sophisticated tunnel ever found was just now found. Nobody's reporting on this. FBI, Homeland Security, and scientists from our federal agencies descended on this tunnel. It was supposedly accidentally found. It runs through a major area that is highly trafficked by Border Patrol. It runs through Mexico into the United States, goes through a residential community, takes a left-hand turn, and then ends at the last house on the corner in this residential community. This tunnel has fiber optics, electricity, it has a rail system in it, it has fortified walls, ceilings. It is a very huge concern. And when I see stuff like this from a strategy perspective, militarily, I look at why would this be going on? And this tunnel is 25 feet under the ground. Looking at it, my security team that travels with me and people with very special skill sets, they also understand how mining works. And there is no way possible, in our opinion, looking at this, that our government, somebody did not know that this tunnel existed. So my question is, what are the scientists doing there? What is the FBI doing there? What are they trying to cover up?
A massive border crossing in Texas overnight, as hundreds of migrants trekked across the Rio Grande to reach the United States.
Thank you.
question. Why aren't you out fighting the war in Ukraine? Why are you here?
No English.
No English? And where are you from?
Ukraine.
And why aren't you out fighting the war in Ukraine? Protecting your country? Then coming here and living in our country?
Where's all the women and children? Why is it all men that have suddenly arrived in our village? You should be ashamed of yourself doing this. You're going to destroy this village. No women and children at all. No women and children, just men. Disgraceful, disgraceful. Go ahead, take a photograph. I'm taking photographs of you. 200 men in this village.
Sorry, you're a private public. We just asked you to leave.
Yeah, no, man.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good man, you should be ashamed of yourself.
In the nursing home. In the nursing home, yous are all staying in the nursing home. I'm just wondering, where did yous come from? Because I'd like to know why you live here. I want to know where yous came from and why yous are here. Yeah, where are you coming from?
Georgia.
From Georgia. And what's going on in Georgia?
What is your problem?
Where are you coming from and why are you here?
We are allowed there or what?
No, you're not allowed.
Is there a reason for this? Why we're seeing more and more centres just accommodate only male asylum seekers?
Because a majority of international protection applicants are single males, and that's, I suppose, that is the necessity to provide accommodation for them. I think it is also important to say that, you know, in Ireland, nobody does have a veto in terms of who lives within their neighbourhood, who lives within their community.
Mr. O'Gorman, we see that your government is moving heaven and earth to find accommodation for asylum seekers, and in fact we even have ESB office blocks being used now. So can you explain to homeless Irish citizens why this was never done for them?
Well, as a government, we have, I suppose, a moral and legal obligation to provide accommodation for either people in the international protection process or people fleeing the war in Ukraine.
All this, look. Mobiles, spanking new mobiles there for the Ukrainian people, and they can't put their own Irish in the fucking hole. They can't even put up their own Irish homeless people.
Ein afrikanischer Asylant, ein Schwarzer, läuft morgens durch die Stadt in Nürnberg, ja, und spricht die erste Person an, die er sieht, und sagt: Danke, dass Sie mich in Deutschland aufgenommen haben, danke, dass ich hier leben darf. Krankenversichert bin, Unterkunft habe, Essen, alles, was dazu gehört. Sagt die Person: Ich bin kein Deutscher, ich bin Albaner. Sagt der Afrikaner: Oh, Entschuldigung. Läuft er weiter, spricht die nächste Person an. Sagt auch zu dieser Person: Danke, dass ich in Deutschland leben darf. Danke für alles, was Sie für mich tun. Sagt die Person: Ich bin kein Deutscher, ich bin Türke. Sagt der Afrikaner: Oh, Entschuldigung. Läuft er wiederum, spricht die nächste Person an. Sagt er: Vielen lieben Dank, dass ich in Deutschland leben darf, dass Sie mich aufgenommen haben als Flüchtling. Sagt die Person: Ich bin kein Deutscher, ich bin Araber. Sagt der Afrikaner. Wo sind die ganzen Deutschen? Guckt der Araber auf die Uhr und sagt: Wahrscheinlich arbeiten.
Army couldn't hold.
it's important as far as the education campaign and the things that we need to do to address these issues is to challenge this misinformation or this disinformation. White nationalists advocate for a white ethnic state. They put forth conspiracy theories with respect to white genocide and the Great Replacement. It's nothing to be played with. If we allow these noxious beliefs to continue as our diversity continues across the country, this is what we're dealing with. You spoke to the diversity in your area, in your district. Mm-hmm. And the U.S. is experiencing kind of great demographic shifts. And that is not playing well with a lot of white folks, and so they're putting forward this false narrative that there's a white genocide afoot. And it'll take a little bit of work to convince them that it's not true.
Yeah, so, I guess I'm wondering about whether we have the capacity within the military in terms of having trained personnel who can deal with this in an ongoing way.
This white supremacist theory that Jews are driving for, quote, open borders to replace, to commit white genocide, as they call it, to replace America as it looks today with Muslims and Mexicans and other people.
Jews are the ones who want to welcome refugees because it's a conspiracy. And the truth is that, yes, there are Jews in Pittsburgh who are working to resettle refugees. That is true.
White Americans who feel that they're losing their country, they're losing ownership of the country. And they're right. I mean, we are becoming more diverse, more multicultural, and they are, in the end, they are not the future. In the end, the power they still have will go away.
That we're witnessing the end of white America as we know it. The question is, how long and how expensive will the funeral be?
Brown people and black people and Muslims and immigrants are coming to replace our white civilization, and the Jews' job is basically to pass as a white person, but in fact do the bidding of these people that
so
we
do. There are many people who are biologically and even halachically Jewish, that is to say they are Jewish. They brainwashed people to subscribe to the notion that most desirable utopian reality that could be hoped for in human affairs would be a complete admixture of the nations, of the ethnic groups, and of the cultures.
It's a kind of utopia, just the fact that the whole world will mix up with each other, that in, I don't know, 70, 80 years, there will be no white people anymore, and only cappuccino colored people.
Look, that's the only way. This is the only solution.
But when the diversity becomes so extreme that you have almost like balkanized groups, that there were no actual traditional communities, all the traditional communities are outnumbered completely by newcomers, and the newcomers keep on and on rolling in, it has a very alienating effect.
Folks like me who were Caucasian of European descent, for the first time in 2017, will be in an absolute minority in the United States of America. Absolute minority. Fewer than 50% of the people in America from then and on.
Like, what's with this racist country called Ireland? Like, why? Like, why do you take people's children, yeah? Migrants' children, yeah? Who's been in this country for 20 years, yeah? Oppress the parents, put the children in school and teach them your history. How do you get off, like, how do you do these things, like? These are the most racist people in the world. You don't oppress people's parents, children's parents, who are supposed to take care of them and provide for them, and then teach them your history. That's called abuse. I'm calling all black countries in the world to look at this. I'm calling every nation in the world, my country, Africa, and every nation that my children and myself are a part of, to look at these people and what they're doing. They're taking our children and separating our families, men and women together. Separate families, yeah? Bring our children to their school to teach them their history, right? While their father can't even provide for the children. What does your history do for my children, my black children? What does it do? Show me. Give me a job out there. Me learning your history can go get me a job right now as a black man. Show me. Show me. Show me. You can't. So stop abusing our children. If the parents don't have documents in this country to provide for them children, do not put our children in your history class. Remove them. teach them about themselves. They are not white children. They are black children. They are Indian children. They are Asian children and Arab children. Yeah, they are not Irish. They will never be. Yous are racist, bro. Yous oppress people's children's parents who are supposed to be providing for them. Yeah, and on top of that, you threaten them with all sorts of criminal record. You do all sorts of racist things to do to people that come to this country, and then still you want to teach our children your history. That doesn't even matter to them. What about my children's history? How do they know who they are? I'm the one that's supposed to be there for my children to teach them their history. But you took my children and put them in your history class and brainwashing them with your history, your lies, because, as if you came to this country first when you did.
So let's break this down again. You have forced mass non-white immigration into white countries and only white countries. Upon this, we have the government forcing integration to all white living spaces within the country. And then they promote miscegenation all day and all night while demonizing everything that is traditional or white.
And deliberately inflicting on that group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part.
It's genocide.
Disappear. Ja, das deutsche Volk war ja damals eine Demokratie vor uns. Und es ist ausgeplündert und ausgeprescht worden. Nein, was heißt für die internationalen Hyänen Demokratie oder autoritärer Staat? Das interessiert dich gar nicht. Es interessiert dich nur eines. Ist jemand bereit, sich ausplündern zu lassen? Ja oder nein? Ist jemand dumm genug, dabei stillzuhalten? Ja oder nein? Und wenn eine Demokratie dumm genug ist, dabei stillzuhalten, dann ist sie gut. Und wenn ein autoritärer Staat erklärt, ihr plündert unser Volk nicht aus, weder innen noch außen, dann ist das schlecht.
In diesen Ländern regiert tatsächlich das Kapital. Sie reden von der Freiheit der Presse. In Wirklichkeit hat jede dieser Zeitungen einen Herrn. Und dieser Herr ist in jedem Fall der Geldgeber. Diese Presse moduliert nun die öffentliche Meinung. Diese Parteien unterscheiden sich so wenig voneinander, als sie sich früher bei uns voneinander unterschieden haben. Sie kennen sie ja, die alten Parteien. Das war immer eines und dasselbe. Nun müsste man doch meinen, dass vor allem in diesen Ländern der Freiheit und des Reichtums ein unerhörtes Wohlleben für das Volk bestehen müsste. Es ist aber umgekehrt. In diesen Ländern der sogenannten Demokratie wird ja überhaupt gar nicht das Volk in den Mittelpunkt der Betrachtung gerückt. Was entscheidend ist, ist ausschließlich die Existenz dieser paar Macher der Demokratie. Das heißt also, die Existenz dieser paar hundert gigantischen Kapitalisten, die im Besitz ihrer ganzen Werke, ihrer ganzen Aktien sind, und die letzten Endes damit diese Völker ausschließlich dirigieren, die breite Masse interessiert sie nicht im Geringsten.
Es sind die einzigen, die wirklich als internationale Elemente anzusprechen sind, weil sie überall ihre Geschäfte betätigen können. Es ist eine kleine, wurzellose, internationale Clique, die die Völker gegeneinander hetzt, die nicht will, dass sie zur Ruhe kommen.
Sie können uns unterdrücken! Sie können uns meinetwegen töten, kapitulieren werden wir nicht!
Unser deutsches Volk siegt Frieden!
Sie haben früher alle gelacht, diese Juden. Sie haben das für einen Spaß gehalten. Sie lachen heute nicht mehr. Sie wissen, es ist ein blutiger Ernst geworden.
Es war das ein Kampf. Besonders aber auch gegen das Volk, das in unserem Land schon fast allmächtig zu sein schien. Der Kampf gegen das Judentum. Eine satanische Macht, die von unserem ganzen Volk Besitz ergriffen hatte. Die alle Schlüsselstellungen des geistigen, intellektuellen Lebens, aber auch des politischen und des wirtschaftlichen in der Hand gebracht hatte. Und das von den Schlüsselstellungen aus die ganze Nation überwachte. Eine Macht, die zugleich aber Einfluss besaß, denjenigen, wenn notwendig sogar mit dem Gesetz zu verfolgen, der es unternahm, sich den Kampf gegen diese Macht anzuschließen und der bereit war, Widerstand dem Vordringen dieser Macht entgegenzusetzen. Das allmächtige Judentum hat uns damals den Krieg angesagt. Und wir haben gearbeitet. Was haben wir geschafft? In den Jahren bis 1939, in eben dem Maß wuchs wieder der Neid. Der gleichen Männer, die damals bereits Deutschland den Krieg überzogen hatten. Die Herrn Schöckel begannen sofort wieder zu hetzen. Die Mr. Eden und dann natürlich den Juden an der Spitze, ein Horbeleisch und wie sie alle heißen. Die begannen nun ihre Hetze, Jahr für Jahr. Man sagte allerdings, ja, er rüstet. Ja, das habe ich nun immer getan. Man hat mir früher auch gesagt, warum haben Sie denn dann eine SA, wenn Sie den Frieden wollen? Warum machen Sie sich denn dann eine SS, wenn Sie sowieso nur die Brüderlichkeit wollen? Weil es Leute gibt, die das nicht wollen. Und denen wollte ich zeigen, dass sie auch für den anderen Fall gerüstet sind.
Der Welt aber ist das eigene Volk. dieses Volk! Und um dieses Volk wollen wir ringen und wollen wir kämpfen und niemals erlahmen und niemals ermüden und niemals vertragen und niemals verzweifeln!
Some ZOO students are concerned after racist flyers were found on campus that many feel promote white supremacy. MU spokesperson Christian Basie said the school's aware of the flyers, but they aren't allowed to take them down because they are protected by free speech.
Bye.